been a while in this chapter, and Lord willing, we are going to finish it this evening. We're taking a large chunk, if that's the right word, of Scripture. We're going to start in verse number 25. We left off in verse 24 last time. So we'll start up in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 25 and read down all the way to the end of the chapter. You say, are we going to get all this in tonight? Sure. Don't know when we'll leave, but we'll get it all in tonight, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse number 25. Follow along, if you would, in your Bible as I read aloud 1 Corinthians 7, beginning in verse number 25. The Apostle Paul writes these words, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress, I say, that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong unto the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as the husband liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for meeting with us tonight. We thank you for this good crowd that's here on a Sunday evening. We thank you for the songs we can sing, the tongue we can use to sing praises to your name. Father, we pray for the next few minutes now. You give us guidance and direction in a very sometimes complicated text, and Father, a very compound text. And I pray you just give us clarity of understanding. I pray for clarity of speech and thought, and that, Lord, you'd guide and direct our time in your word here this evening. Give us a glimpse to what Paul is addressing, what he's writing about, the truths that applied in his day, and, Father, the truths that carry over into our day also. Give us the information. Give us the revelation that we need tonight, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you may remember, 1 Corinthians 7 is a chapter that's written in response to the questions of the Corinthians. Look back at verse number 1 with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Paul opened the chapter by saying this, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me." So this entire chapter, he'll move on chapter 8 to some other subjects. But in chapter 7, what he's addressing is answers to questions that were asked by the church at Corinth. Now, our handicap is we don't know what those questions are as far as seeing that letter or seeing them written down on the page. We don't know what they asked Paul. All we know is what his answers were. And his answers all deal with, can you serve God being single? Or can you serve God being married? Or if you're single, should you get married? Or if you're married, should you get single so that you can serve God better? And that's what Paul is addressing in this chapter. A very important truth for their day, because these converts in the city of Corinth have just received the gospel. They've just put their faith and trust in Christ. They are anxious to serve God. They're desirous to serve God, but they're not sure how they can do it. Do we forsake our family? Do we go on serving God no matter what he calls us to sacrifice? What do we do? And so they wrote to the Apostle Paul. They wrote to the right man to get the answers to their questions. Here's the problem. They didn't have an Old Testament text to go to. They didn't have Old Testament scriptures to look at. There were no answers back then for how they were to deal with their situation. And that's why Paul said what he said. Look in verse 25 where we start tonight. Now concerning virgins, notice he says, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment. What does Paul mean by that? Does he say, well, God hasn't said anything about this. God is silent, so I'll tell you what I think. That's not what Paul's saying. He said, I have no commandment of the Lord. There is no Old Testament scripture. There is no previous text that Paul can draw from to answer their questions. So he, we would say, has prayed about it. He sought God about it. God has given him the words, because we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So what Paul writes down here are not just the thoughts of one individual that can be overlooked or overruled or cast out. He is given these thoughts by God, and these words were given by God, and so he gives them the information as an answer to their question. Thank God when we have Old Testament scriptures to draw from to give us answers. Thank God when we have New Testament scriptures to go back to give us answers. But these folks didn't have that benefit. And so they wrote to the Apostle Paul and said, what do we do? Can we serve God being single? And of course, he addressed that at the beginning of the chapter. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. And he said, you can serve God in a single setting. And he said, what if we're married? He said later on, to the married, verse 10, to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. They had a problem there as the gospel got to Corinth, that the man would get saved or the wife would get saved, but the spouse didn't. And so the other spouse is saying, I want to serve God. I want to live for God. I want to do what God wants me to do. But how do I do it with a lost or unsaved mate? Can I tell you that encourages you and I, or those that are of that age, you younger people, make sure you hook up with somebody that wants to serve God. Make sure you hook up with somebody that's got God in mind. If you want to serve him, make sure they want to serve him. Because if not, there's going to be trouble in the flesh. And Paul is addressing that. And he says, no. He said, if your wife doesn't want to serve God, if your husband doesn't want to serve God, don't dump them and go find somebody that does. If they're content to dwell with you, you stay with them. But if the unbelieving depart, then let them depart. So Paul is handling in this one chapter very concisely all the questions they have concerning this issue. It's a chapter that demands our attention and demands our study. So tonight we get down to verse number 25. And here's what Paul is doing. He's talking about this issue of singleness and marriage. And I believe, or the way I've outlined this tonight, is he gives them four things to consider. Four things to consider in this issue of serving God single, or serving God married, or of changing the status of where you are. Notice them with me tonight, if you would. First of all, in verse 25 to verse 31, he tells them to consider the present distress. And notice you'll find that exact statement in verse number 26. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. Consider the present distress. Look back with verse 25, if you would, with me. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. The word virgins in the Bible simply means unmarried. Because morally, traditionally, and especially biblically, unmarried people were intended to be pure, intended to be virgins. And when he uses the word, it refers both to male and female. We in our society today seem to emphasize that the woman's supposed to do that, but the man not necessarily. But God is talking about both of them. Notice he says at the end of verse 26, I say it is good for a man so to be. What is he calling? For him to be unmarried, for him to be a virgin. It is good for a man so to be. Then later on he talks about in verse number 28, he says, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. If a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. So it's a he, it's a she. It's both of them that he's addressing in this. If you're single, male or female, you are those unmarried people. He says in verse 34, there's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman, that's the virgin, careth for the things of the Lord that she may be full. But she that is married, that's the married. So virgin and unmarried are synonymous when it comes to Scripture, not with society. All right, but biblical morals are always to be preached and taught and upheld no matter what. No matter what society is dictating, it's to be that way. So God says simply this, or Paul said, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say it is good for a man so to be. What is it so to be? To be a virgin, to be unmarried. What was the benefit that Paul was thinking of a man being unmarried? The present distress. They were living in a time that was stressful. We won't take the time to go back, but if you go back to Acts chapter 18, where Paul took the gospel to Corinth, they invaded the house of one Jason. They said those that have preached the gospel have turned the world upside down. They took this Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, when he became a believer, and they beat him. The people at Corinth treated Paul and those that were with him very violently. There was a lot of persecution against the church that was at Corinth. And Paul said, if a man determines that he wants to stay unmarried, it might be better for him. Why? Because of the present distress. Because of the persecution. I mean, just think about it. It's kind of obvious for you and I right now. If a man is being pressured to deny his faith, if he's facing a guillotine, however you want to pronounce it, or if he's facing a sword, and they're telling him, deny Christ or we'll cut off your head, he might have the confidence and the faith to say, I'll not deny Christ and I'm willing to die for him. But if he's got a wife and children next to him and they're saying, deny him or we cut her head off, deny him or we kill them, that's a present distress. And so Paul is saying, if a man at this time, in this condition, in this place, under these circumstances, if a man desires to be that, it is good for a man so to be, because of the present distress. He says in verse number 27, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Again, reiterating what he said already. If the unbelieving is content to dwell with you, stay with them. Don't leave them. If they leave, it's a whole other story. Out there bound to a wife, seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Are you single now? Seek not a wife, either by way of death, possibly by way of divorce, whatever it is. Art thou loosed from a wife? Not that you don't have one, but you've been bound and you're loosed. And I know we can make a lot of jokes about those words. Bound to a wife, loosed from a wife. But Paul is simply trying to say, when you have a spouse, whether it's wife or husband, you're bound. You don't have the liberty to do what you would do if you're single. You don't make the decisions of yourself and for yourself. You have to consider all others also. So he says, art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Young man in Corinth, you've recently trusted Christ as Savior. You want to serve God, but there is a present distress. You see the signs of the times. You see what's going on in Corinth. You see the opposition to the church. You see the persecution they're facing. And you've got that young lady that you're in love with, and you've been thinking about marrying her. You know what, Paul doesn't say you can't do it. He says, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. So he's encouraging them. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Young lady, you want to serve God, serve God. If you can serve him single, serve him single. God has used a lot of single lady missionaries in different places around the world. We have supported them and do continue to support some of them right now. They're unencumbered. They're able to do things freely that they couldn't do if they were married. Many times we think that if a young lady is serving God unmarried, it's because she couldn't find a husband. Well, it might just be that God has allowed in her life for her to serve God in a single capacity, in a single status. I can think of one mission board off the top of my head that only recruits or only accepts people that are unmarried, because they're sending them into jungles, they're sending them into South America, they're sending them into very remote places where families, husband and wife, children, could not serve God under those conditions. It takes a single person thinking only of themselves in that regard to be able to survive in those different cultures. And so Paul is addressing that issue and saying, if you can stay single, stay single. Serve God single. But an if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. Trouble in the flesh. Marriage, hear me out before you judge me. Marriage is trouble. All right? Two people becoming one. Two thought lives and attitudes and personalities becoming one. There are bumps in the road. Sometimes younger people look at older married couples and think, well, the reason they've been able to stay married so long is because they've never had any problems. They've never had any difficulties. They don't know what life is like in 2025. Oh, I guarantee they've been through the bumps and the bruises and everything else. There is trouble in that. But Paul says, but I spare you. I won't give you the details. I won't tell you about it. I know what it's like. But if God calls you to serve him single, serve him single. If he calls you to serve him married, serve him married. But above all things, serve God. That's the message to the church at Corinth. He said you should do that because the time is stressful. All right? This present distress, the time is stressful. But then he says, verse 29, do it because the time is short. All right? Still talking about this present distress. The time is stressful, verse 25 to verse 28. The time is short, verse 29 to verse 31. There were two things that were permeating the thoughts of the Corinthian Christians. One, the present distress, the stress they were under because of the persecution. And number two, they really believed Jesus Christ was coming back. And they didn't think it was going to be as long as it took for him to get back. They thought he was going to come back during their lifetime. The Apostle Paul thought he was going to come back during his lifetime. The Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation thought Jesus Christ was coming back in his lifetime. Preachers down through the ages for the past 1,500 years have preached and believed firmly. They thought that Jesus Christ was coming back in their lifetime. The Lord has chosen, we say, chosen to tarry. He's not tarrying. It's not like he's waiting. He knows exactly, or the Father does, exactly when he's going to come back, and it's going to be just at the right time. But Paul believed then, as we should believe now, the time is short. So we need to serve God. Look at verse number 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Not only is the time stressful, the previous verses, but the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be though they had none. You know what Paul's saying? He's taking the pressure off. He's saying don't stress over marriage or singleness. Understand that the time is short. And when the Lord comes back, every one of us will give an account of himself to God. And in heaven, we know there is no marriage. There is no uniting. I don't know what heaven's like. I don't know how it works out up there. I remember those Pharisees coming and saying, this man had a wife and he died and a brother took her and seven of them took her. And they had to be making up that story. You're familiar with that story? The woman married one brother, then the second brother, the third brother. If you were the fourth brother, would you marry her? I mean, she'd already buried three. You'd watch every drink you got, every meal she served you. I don't think that story's around. I think they were trying to trick up the Lord. And he said, in heaven, they neither marry or are given in marriage. I don't know exactly how it is up there, but Paul says the time is short. And we're almost to that point where they that have wives be as though they had none. And he says in verse 30, and they that weep as though they wept not, not only marriage, but mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. One of these days our mourning will be over. We'll have a grand and glorious mourning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G. But all mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, will be past. And that will be a comfort. That will be a positive thing. They that weep as though they wept not. They that rejoice, merriment. They that rejoice as though they rejoice not. Remember that down here on earth. We enjoy the merriment, not so much the mourning. And it goes up and it goes down, and it goes up and it goes down. Realize that all these things are just temporary. The time is short. Don't get too stressed about the mourning. Don't get too stressed about the troubles. Don't get overly stressed about the difficulties, because the time is short. And then at the same time, don't get too carried away with the merriment. Don't get too carried away with the rejoicing, knowing there's going to be mourning again before it's all over. But Paul says, they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy merchandise, marriage, mourning, merriment, merchandise. Paul's covering everything in about two verses right here. They that buy as though they possessed not. Don't put yourself in over debt for the things of this world and the things of this life. Oh, how tragic it is that some young couples do get married, they get united, and they get a credit card. And they need this, and they need that, and they need the other thing. And before you know it, the debt is insurmountable. Dad or mom never sat down and taught them, hey, here's, be careful of this, watch for this, don't fall into this. No marriage counselor before marriage has said, hey, have you talked about this? Don't fall into this trap. Don't think you've got to have all these things. You know, most of us, I'm looking at my generation, you remember what you had when you got married? You had just about absolutely nothing. I mean, nothing. I remember the car we drove. I remember what we had. Today, people think they got to have this, got to have that, got to have the other thing. Paul says this about that. He said, they that possessed as though they possessed not. Don't worry about the accumulation of things. Why? Verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. I believe Paul's giving two things in verse 31. They that use this world as not abusing it. It's not wrong to have things. It's not bad to have things. It's not necessarily evil to have things. You know what it is? It's bad when things have you. It's not wrong to have possessions. It's wrong to have possessions that possess you. Gotta have, need bigger, need better, need newer, need more. All right, Paul said, the time is short. Focus on the time that's right now. They that use this world and not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Consider the present distress. You want to stay single? Consider the present distress. You want to get married? Consider the present distress. Pray, ask God, what's God's will for your life? What's God's direction for your life? And respond to God. I appreciate Paul doing that. You might say he's a little biased. As far as we know in Scripture, Paul was never married. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates it. Some teach that because he was a Pharisee, he had to have been married because the Pharisees, it was required to be married. That's not Scripture. That's someone's interpretation of history and all that. We don't know. We know that when he served God, he was single. Could you imagine him hauling around a wife or children and all those 52 cities he visited on three missionary journeys? In three countries on two continents, he would not have been able to accomplish what he did. So Paul said, I think it's better if you abide even as I, but if you can't, you haven't sinned if you marry. But consider the present distress. Then in verse 32 to verse 35, it's almost the same, but the second thing to consider is the probable distraction. Consider the probable distraction. And we've talked about it already. Paul says this in verse 32. I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. You know, there's a lot of stuff in those two verses. The obvious one, that if you're married, it's not just, well, God told me to do this, and so I'm going to do it. You've got someone else to consult. You've got someone else to consider. And that's what Paul's teaching us also, that if you're married, it's not a one-person decision. There have to be two in agreement to make that decision. I have seen men that have gone to the mission field whose wives were not on board, and it doesn't work. If they don't feel the same leading and the same calling that their husband does, it's just not going to work. It's going to be more trouble than it is anything else. So there has to be a consultation. They've got to, you know, we hear testimonies of missionaries that come. Well, God told me this is what he wants me to do. And I went and told my wife. I was fearful. I thought she's never going to buy into this. And you've heard this story several times from different missionaries. So I went to my wife and told her, and she said, God's been speaking to my heart about the same thing. There's where it's supposed to be. All right, we have to care for one another. The Bible says, he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may, women, you're going to love it, please his wife. Men, your responsibility is to please your wife. No, it's her responsibility to please me. Oh, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. We are to find a way how he may please his wife. It's a challenge for us, guys. What do we do to please our wife? What do we do to make them happy? What do we do to make them smile? What do we do to make them feel loved? We've got to do something to please our wives, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. All right, verse number 34. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. All right, the unmarried woman serving the Lord. You remember in the book of Acts how many widow women were faithfully serving God? When Paul and his friends would make their missionary journeys, come into different places, when Peter would come into different places, how there were ladies that now were dedicated to serving God. Their responsibilities to their husbands were gone. They didn't have that. They didn't have to care for him anymore. And so now they could serve God freely. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do it your whole life, but when the opportunity arises, do it. So for the men, it says in verse 32. For the women, it says in verse number 34. That she, for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Boy, could you imagine how well a marriage would go if the woman's desire was to please her husband and the man's desire was to please his wife? And that's what the Bible indicates. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the right kind of marriage, that's what happens there. Trying to please one another. Isn't that where most of the friction comes from? Wanting our own way, wanting to do our own thing, wanting to take care of it on our own. So Paul gives great advice here and tells us that when we're married, you've got to care, please the other one. You know what the remedy for that is? Stay single. I can't handle that. Stay single. Now, if you're already married, God doesn't give you an out and say you can cast off that mate and go back to that. But if it ever comes where you're unmarried, use your time. Give it wholly, completely in service to God. So he tells us to consider the probable distraction. Verse 35, for this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. All right, and it will almost seem like that. Well, you can't serve God if you're married. No, you still can, but you got to do it together. But for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. There's the word we used in our second point. Consider the probable distraction. in serving God, single or married, weigh the information, think it through, decide what God would have you to do. Thirdly, verse 36 to verse 38, after considering the present distress, considering the probable distraction, verse 36 to verse 38, and this is tentative, if I can say it this, consider the parental duty. Consider the parental duty. Verse 36 to verse 38 are three of the most difficult verses to me in all the Bible to be sure of what I'm reading and understanding. And the general consensus, which I'll give you at this point, seems to say that the man and the virgin talked about here are not a possible husband and wife, but is talking about the father and the daughter. In such a way that the father, of course, in this history, was responsible. You didn't get married without the father's permission. The man went to the father to ask if he could get married. And Paul is addressing now that man, that father, who has what we call an unclaimed blessing. You know what I mean by unclaimed blessing? I'll defer to Brother Mark Rogers. Brother Mark, when he first started coming to us in the late 1990s, was probably in his 30s at that time or thereabouts, and was unmarried. A well-known evangelist, a tall, good-looking guy, but he had no mate. And just about every church he went to, the pastor would come and say, I want to introduce you to an unclaimed blessing. And would arrange dinner at that house, at that the parents' house or the father's house, or take them out to eat. And here's that situation in verse 36. If any man think he behaveth uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and again, I have a hard time with all this stuff, and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. The consensus again, and I'm sticking to that for tonight, is that the man has a daughter that has got into her 30s and she's not been married. If she wants to stay single, she can stay single. There's no shame on the father for having an unmarried grown daughter, and no shame on the woman for reaching that age without being married. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So that he that giveth her in marriage, who giveth this woman to be married to this man? That's what we say at every marriage ceremony. And the father usually delivers the hand to the groom-to-be, or the groom, and says, her mother and I do. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Consider the parental duty. All right, the man that's the head of the home, responsible for whether or not his daughter is going to marry. He has a say in that situation. He has a voice in that decision. I'm making sure I'm saying this slowly and clearly for Aaron's benefit. And I'm joking, you know that. No, I'm not, but I'm saying. I'm not saying anything she doesn't already know, okay? So that is the parental duty here that Paul is addressing. It is a joint decision between the father and the daughter as to how that is handled. Again, that is controversial, and we'll let it rest at that right now. Again, I've told you that much of my study in 1 Corinthians 7, commentators are very, very bland and very, very sparse in their comments, because I don't think they understand it any more than many of us do anyway. So it stops right there. All right, so consider the present distress. Consider the probable distraction. Consider the parental duty. Then the last two verses, verse 39 and verse 40. Consider the permanent decision. Consider the permanent decision. Folks today go into marriage thinking there's always an out. I mentioned before, some sitcom now, I think it's Georgie and Mandy's, and I don't know if I got the names right, but Georgie and Mandy's first marriage. And that's I don't know, I guess it's popular, it's on, I haven't seen it. But Georgie and Mandy's first marriage. And the whole wording of that, why don't they just say Georgie and Mandy's marriage? Well, just the terminology is preparing people to understand, well, this might not last a long time, and they might move on in season 3 or 4 to someone else. And so society today just takes marriage as not being a permanent decision. And yes, it ought to be and should be a permanent decision. Till death do us part. Now, there are exceptions that happen. If the unbelieving depart, let them depart. Paul covered those. But as a general rule, that's the way it is. Verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. She's married. She's bound as long as her husband lives. But if he dies, she can either remain single, which Paul recommends, or she can marry again, Paul says, but only in the Lord. You know what has broken my heart over the years is to see some dear, precious, godly ladies who have lost their husbands and have disappeared from church shortly after. That when the husband is gone, the wife stops coming to church. And then they remarry because they meet someone outside of church. And I can just tell you, it doesn't turn out well. It doesn't turn out good. So Paul says they can be married if they're widows, and widows indeed, 1 Timothy. They can be married, but only in the Lord. Again, if we want to serve God, we've got to have somebody that's compatible. Somebody that's on the same page with us. Somebody that's thinking the right direction. So Paul says, verse 40, but she is happier if she so abide. Don't you just like it when somebody else decides when you're happier? But Paul says, she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. Paul recommends, highly recommends, for unmarried and for widows or widowers, he highly recommends staying single. Serving God with all of your energy. But if they cannot, let them marry. Paul says they have not sinned. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. That's Paul's humble way of saying that what he is saying is not his own thoughts, not his own intellect, not his only decisions, but what he's saying is coming from the Spirit of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Many in modern theology throw 1 Corinthians 7 out the window. And they say, these are the thoughts of a misogynist. These are the thoughts of one man that was unmarried and had no idea. And they treat Paul very vulgarly by throwing that out. Many of them treat all of his epistles that way and say the epistles of Paul are not important because of who he is and what he said, and they just don't like it or don't agree with it. But Paul said, I'm pretty sure, and we know that he had the Spirit of God. So 1 Corinthians 7 is as much the Word of God as 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 8 and every other section of the Word of God. Single or married? 4 things, Paul says, to consider. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.